lift our hands and just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, open our hearts, open our minds today, Lord, as we receive the word. Mighty God, give us the revelation of God's love and his love for all of us and the relationship of each love towards every individual and every person in this world. Mighty God, we love you. There's no place I would rather be than right here worshiping you and learning your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If we go to 2 Samuel 1, 25 through 26. Just a little disclaimer. Today I'm going to be talking about this world and how this world takes scripture and twists it to their point of view. I'm going to be talking about a little bit about God's love, homosexuality, and biblical marriage. I'm not biblically married, but, you know, one day God will provide. Come on now. Woo! Thank you. So, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of a woman. You may be seated. Can you keep the verse up there? Now, this is what the world takes out of this verse, out of verse 26. When it says, thou love to me was wonderful, passing the love of a woman. They take it as a homosexual verse. They're saying David had the love of, or the love for Jonathan was greater than the love of a woman. This is something that I've seen in apologetics courses. This is something that I've seen in the contemporary movement of the church where it's allowing homosexuality into the church, saying in the Old Testament that, you know, that this type of love was present. Man love, whatever you want to call it, homosexuality love was present in King David, who is, you know, the pillar of our faith, the seed of Jesus Christ. The issue with the English language is that it only explains love with love. It says, hey, brother, when I say I love you, it doesn't mean that I love you romantically. It means I love you like a brother, right? So when I say, ma'am, let's just, you know, pretend we're dating. When I say I love you, it's of romance. It's something different. It's not that I love you like a brother. If I say I love you to a family member, it's a family love. There's all kinds of loves that are described. So in the Word of God, it's the same exact way. We have to identify what love is. So what we've come to find that in the Scriptures, that first of all, we know that the Bible wasn't written in English. It was written the Old Testament. We have the Hebrew text documents, and then we have the Greek Septuagint. All right, most people cite the Greek Septuagint because the Hebrew language is very hard to translate now. So what is this verse actually talking about? Well, if I was David and I had a good friend named Jonathan, let's say it was Sean. Sean's my best friend. And we went to war for years, fighting for our country, loving and living for the same exact God. And knowing that the love for God, and this is how I'm supposed to treat my brother, and being gone for years, fighting and fighting and fighting, side by side, side by side, side by side, for years. Understanding each other's struggles, understanding each other's battles, physical battles, mental battles, spiritual battles. The love for that person is going to become greater than the love of a woman. And it's not in a romantic way. It is the brotherhood love. So what we actually find here in the Septuagint is exactly what we're talking about. It says that, unto me thy love, phileo, to me was wonderful. Phileo, we're going to learn, is friendship love, brotherly love, passing the love of eros of a woman. That's the love in the Greek that's used there. Eros of a woman is romantic love. So now we have to identify, or now this explains the passage completely. It identifies the types of loves that are being used, and it's easily refuted when someone says, hey, in the Old Testament, David was a homosexual. Because at first glance, when you read it, it's an odd statement. And I can honestly say it's an odd statement when you first read it, especially in the English language. But when you break it down, you know that it's not an odd statement. It's a biblical statement. It's phileo, meaning friendship or brotherly love, was wonderful to me. This brotherly love passing the love, the romantic love of a woman. Powerful statement. So we understand that this love grew because of their war and what had been going side by side for years and years. They had fought. They've probably saved one another. They've probably fought back to back to one another the years and years. Because when you went away for a battle, you weren't gone for a day. You were typically gone for months to years. So there was a bond between warriors that was great. And it was much greater than actually the bond that we feel between men today. A lot of times, men, we like to be our own castle. We like to be alone. We like to be secluded. We like to be introvert, I guess, in a way that we could say, because actually we're not doing as much as we could be doing together in the kingdom of God. There needs to be a camaraderie in the church. We need to bring back the phileo of the church, which is the brotherly friendship love in the works of the kingdom of God. So let's talk about the loves of the Bible. The first love is the most popular love that we understand. It is agape love. This love means charity. It means the love of God for man. Agape is used as Christians to express the unconditional love of God towards his children. This type of love is further expressed through the sacrifice of his son, what he did for us. It was agape love. It is the unconditional love that God has for us. And it's also the gift of, or the fruit of love that we experience in Galatians 5:22. For this love is agape love. The only way that we ever feel God's love or agape love is through the fruit of the Spirit. Because our love is actually corrupt. If we think about it, we like to say, hey, I love my car, I love food, I love these things. As a matter of fact, the Bible never associates love with material things. Never, ever does it associate love with material things. That includes your dog and your cat. Sorry. Agape love is best described in a relationship between the Heavenly Father and His Son. Jesus used this when He prayed in John 17:27. If we could put that up. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, that I may myself may be in them. The Father had agape love for his son. When Jesus was here, the Father, who is, and we understand oneness and the distinction between the Son and the Father at the time, the love was there. This is my son who I'm very well pleased in. I know what he's going to do. This is the Logos that will crucify himself on the cross. The love that was there was agape love, the sacrificial, unconditional love. The other verse that we have to go by, which is very popular, is John 3:16. This is the expression of love towards us. For God so loved the world. What did he do? He gave his only begotten son. And he that believes on him, they shouldn't perish. Okay? This love, this sacrificial love, is God's love towards us. It is unconditional. It's the same love that says, hey, when you repent to me, I am just to forgive you of those sins because I love you. And I want to see you in heaven. God demonstrated his own love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. We learn agape through our understanding of God's love for us. It never gives up. It never walks away. It gives sacrificially for the good of those we love. It is therefore a word which is known by action. Agape is an action word. It is an action form of love. Unconditional love has works. Unconditional love has movement. It is never still. It is never stagnant. It is always moving. When we love this world, what it means is that we are spreading the gospel to the world. It means that we are giving Bible studies. We are in the homeless ministry. We are in nursing homes. We are wherever we need to be in order to be spreading the word of God. Why? Because it's sacrificial time that we give in order to spread God's love. This is considered agape love. This is how we give love to this world, or God's love to this world. Agape is described in a song very well, where one thing remains: higher than the mountain that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in trial and in the change. One thing remains: your love never fails, it never gives up, and it never runs out on me. It never runs out on me. God's love will never run out on you, ever. No matter how alone you may feel, no matter how depressed you may feel, God has made promises to you that he will never leave you or forsake you. God's agape love for you is unconditional, and it'll never run out. And it'll always be there for you. Matthew 5:43-44, we'll go through some verses that illustrate his love for us. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This is God's love. This is how God wants us to show his love unto the world. Well, that's a sacrifice. Agape love will cause you to sacrifice yourself. Who in their right mind wants to pray for their enemy? I mean, it's a foreign concept to your average person, except for, you know, Christianity, when we've heard it, and we're like, wow, that I really have to humble myself to that. That's terrible. Because honestly, I just want to kill my enemies. It's a whole lot easier that way. Get them out of your life. Never want to see them again. It's a lot easier. But God's love, agape love, says, no. You need to crucify yourself, and you need to get on your knees, and you need to pray for those who have transgressed against you, or those who are your enemies, or those who hate you. Pray for them. Agape love. It's not jealous, it's not harsh, it is patient, it is love. It's Jesus' love. Matthew 22:37-39, Jesus answering, oh, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the first thing we have to understand is that you have to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your might. Everything that you are, you have to love your God. Now, the first law is like unto the second law that says, love your neighbor as yourself. The thing that I see the most in Christianity is this: they don't have the first one right, so they'll never get the second one right. They don't know how to love God, or they're not loving God the way the Bible says to love God, so they'll never love their neighbor the way that God tells you to love your neighbor. You can tell someone's relationship with God by the way they treat people. And that's something that we can all look at in the mirror, and we could say, wow, I could treat people a little nicer, with a little more respect, with a little bit more of God's love. And that all starts with the first commandment: to love the Lord thy God with everything that you are, and he will show you how to love your neighbor. The next one is John 13:34-35. A new command I give you, love one another. He's saying to love one another in the way that he loves you. This is all agape love. It all falls underneath agape love. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. So love one another the way that I have loved you. There's no greater sacrifice than what? Laying your life down for another. This is agape love. It is the most powerful form of love that we could ever experience, and it's the most powerful form of love you could ever give to somebody. It's God's love. It's unconditional. So I'll just go through a couple more to bring on the illustration until we move on to the next form of love. Galatians 5:22, we understand that, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, God's love. The fruit of the Spirit is not your love. It is God's love. It is agape love. It is joy. James 2 and 8, it says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, it says, love your neighbor as yourself, then you are doing right. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, another thing that I see a lot is that you don't love yourselves. And not in a sense of pride, but because you don't love yourself, you can't love anyone else. I don't know what happened in your life. Maybe something happened in your childhood where you were hurt, but because of that thing, no matter what it may have been, it has stopped you from loving yourself, and it has stopped you from finding your self-worth in God. There's nothing wrong with loving yourself in a biblical sense and understanding who you are through God. There's nothing wrong with that. You see, when we hear about loving ourselves, we think of it as being selfish. That's because this world tells you that, you know, if you love yourself, it's all about you. It's all egotistical. No, no, no. That's an identity crisis. You have to identify yourself as a Christian in order to learn how to love yourself and who you are. So love your neighbor as you love yourself. Another reason why people mistreat people is because they hate themselves. So they hate the person. Hurt people hurt people. It's that easy. For Christ's love, agape, compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Agape is deliberate, it's consistent, and transparent. It does not change by the way we feel on any given day. It always seeks good of those we are called to love. It compels us towards action. Agape love. The most powerful love that you could ever experience. Now, the next form of love that we see in the Bible is eros. That's the one that we saw with Jonathan. This type of love is strictly to romance. Romantic love between man and a woman, husband and wife. It mostly means love, mostly of the sexual and romantic passions. The Greek modern word, which is eteros, is intimate love. Plato refines his definition. Although eros is initially felt for a person, it can also be felt past the physical world, so past your flesh. Eros is intimacy with the soul, with the spirit. You may not, or beauty is found on the inside. I love your personality, eros. These are examples. So it goes beyond flesh and blood, and it goes into a spiritual connection, eros. Eros is a physical form of love shared between husband and wife. When God created man and woman in the garden, he built them an eros form of love with the goal that they may desire one another. Please understand that this is a plan by God. To desire the opposite sex is a plan by God. He's the one who instilled eros love into you. Okay? Now, because we'll say men here, we have a hard time controlling it sometimes because we feed our flesh with so much entertainment and other things of the world, we feel eros love for many things. We feel lust. And this happens with women too, but getting that under control starts with agape love. So, we see a form of eros love in the Song of Solomon 1 through 4. And this is very popular. This is the first romance novel. I have a different version here, but let him, because I think it describes it a little bit better. Let him kiss me with the lips of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the young women love you. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chambers. This is romantic eros love. But understand that every time I'm saying love, it has a different meaning to it. The English language does not depict or it does not separate the ideas that are present within the word itself. We have to understand that. Eros love in the Bible is never, ever used for man-on-man relationships or woman-on-woman relationships. romantic love has never been misplaced for homosexual relationships, ever in the Bible. It is always between man and woman, always. Eros love. The next form of love that we have is phileo. Now, this type of love is friendship love. It's affectionate regarding friendship, usually between equals, so your peers. It's a concept developed by Aristotle in his best-known work on ethics, which is, I can't say the word, something ethics. Phileo is expressed through loyal friendship, family, and communication, and it requires virtue, equality, and the love of family. Furthermore, the same sex, phileo denotes a general type of love used for the love between families, between friends, and a desire of enjoyment of activity as well as between lovers. Obviously, your relationship through eros can't sustain itself through romantic love. So you have to do what with each other? Become friends. You have to befriend each other. You have to be each other's best friend, especially if you're in a marriage. I see a lot of marriages fail. And my brother, not to throw his business out there, he ended up separating from his wife. And they fail because they lose their friendship. They lose how to have fun with one another. They're not having fun. So what are they going to do? Well, they're going to lose, number one, their romantic love for you. And then they're going to lose their agape love for you. All because we're not becoming friends. We're not staying friends. We're not being best friends. We're not loving one another with patience and kindness. You have to understand that you have to be best friends with one another. Nothing can separate you. Phileos is distinguished from agape in that it is better described as tender mercy of affection. John 3:16 uses agape love for when he says that he gave his son for the world, for God so loved the world. Phileo in John 5:20 describes this, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these so that you will be amazed. Picture the Father tenderly and lovingly showing his Son what to do and how to do it. The verse describes the progressive action of a father helping his son. Phileo is a kind of love which can be expressed between friends. It also expresses itself through tenderness, gentleness. Understand that God's love typically is not harsh. It is typically very tender. It's very loving. It is very patient. And it's very understanding. Through phileo, we help our brothers and sisters grow in Christ through progressive discipleship, not giving a new believer more than what they can handle, but loving them and patiently leading them to maturity. Phileo is never given as a command to love God, but it is used in warnings about not loving him. Understanding that if I am not a friend of God or if I'm not in friendship with God, then now I am accursed. For if anyone that does not love the Lord, phileo the Lord, let that person be accursed. So if you do not know God, you are not a friend of God, you don't allow God to teach you, you are not his friend, and you are now accursed. Phileo must be directed to the right objective as an illustration, John 12:25. Anyone who loves their life shall lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world, they will keep it for eternal life. Understand that if you put your love in the wrong place, you will lose your life because it's not of God. It's not God's love. If you don't fall in these four categories of love all the time, then you are not loving him. You are not following God's love. What you are following is the lusts of this world and your relationship with the world and material things. God's love has no room for that. It's all eternal. Phileo must have Phileo, love, affection, brotherly love, friendship. Matthew 10:37. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Harsh words right there. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Harsh words there. John 11:11-2 says, this Mary, those brothers, Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister went toward Jesus the Lord. The one you love is sick. Jesus' relationship with Lazarus was phileo love. He loved him like a friend. It was friendship. It was like your best friend growing up. He taught him. He was helping him through. He was teaching him things. Phileo love. And finally, in John 11:35-36, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. So the final step of love, or the final place of love that we see in the Greek, is storge. Storge means love, affection, specifically between parents and children. Because we all know that the love between your children and the love that I have for my father is greater than the love that I would probably have for a friend. It has its own special category, and it's known as storge. It is common or natural empathy, like felt by parents for offspring. The closest that you'll ever get to true agape love is looking at your children. The unconditional love of no matter what they do, you'll always love them as your child. That is the closest you'll ever get to how God views us. It's the closest, through children. Rarely used in ancient works. It is the one that is least used, that we least see in the Bible. And then almost exclusively as a descriptor of relationship within the family, it is also known to express mere acceptance or putting up with situations that you really don't want to put up with. Family members. Let's be real. Have we ever had to put up with a situation from family that you didn't want to put up with, but you had to because you loved them? Welcome to storge. That's what storge means, and that's what storge is all about. Family love, no matter who or what or how crazy they are or delusional they are, you love them. In the same category, it comes from the same category as phileo, but storge is specifically family love. I love my family. It expresses the relationship of a mother or a father or the child. Like phileos, it is complete love, but teaches progressively. It has a vision for what the child can become and leads them lovingly toward the ultimate goal. Raise your child in which way he or she shall go. This is storge love. Because you know what? Sometimes when you're raising them in the way that they have to go, you have to put the friendship with your kid aside and you have to parent them. I can't stand parents who treat their children as their friends. There is a place for that, but you are the parent. You are the authority in their life. This is storge love. This is familial love. You are to teach them in which way they go for their good, because they don't know any better, and this world will take them, and they'll take them faster than you think, and they'll chew them up and spit them out. In the Bible, storge is the Greek word for family love, affections for mothers, sisters, and brothers. An example is in Romans 12:10. The word that's used there is philostorge, which is a compound word. It's made up of friendship and family, and it directs us be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honoring, giving preference one to another. Always give preference to one to another. Always uplift one another. Never tear down one another. Sure, you might be able to correct someone, but you do it in love and in kindness, but you never tear down. You never attack feelings. You never go after them maliciously. You do it out of love and kindness. And if you do those things, then we have a problem with the first one and the second form of love. and a third form of love. So we can take two things out of these forms of love. Number one, the idea that love is only between God and his people and his people and his people. That's the first thing we can take out. Whenever you use the word love, it's between you and God, you and people. That's it. It's never used to describe tangible things, ever. Never, ever. Love is too sacred to God to say, I love my car. No. You just like your car a whole lot. Trust me. You cannot use love for things that are tangible, that are inanimate, things that don't have eternal value. You can't say that. It's too sacred to God. Phileo is the word that we use that says, or when the Bible says, if you love this world, you'll lose your life. The word that's used there is phileo. If you befriend this world in any way, and you allow this world to teach you and to mold you and to shape you, you will lose your life. You cannot be friends, phileo, with the world. You cannot allow it to teach you. You cannot allow it to warp your mind, or else you will be destroyed in this world. And when I say I love a car or I love something that's tangible, that's the word that you're actually using. I befriend this, I love this as a friend, and I allow it to teach me, and I allow it to show me how to live my life, and I allow it to affect me. I love this car, but I hate the car payment. You're in love with the world. Now, these four loves are powerful in the eyes of God, and I believe it's separated this way for a reason, because he really wants to send a message home to this world, especially this present world. The only time we ever see all four loves in operation is in biblical marriage. All four loves are present in biblical marriage and biblical families, a family unit. You will never see all four loves in a homosexual unit. Ever. Number one, they can't have kids. So how are they ever going to have that love between child and father and mother? Or the other way. That's why it's so sacred. Biblical marriage is so sacred because the whole point of love, all four loves come together at this central moment, in this central point, at a family. And the one thing that Satan is absolutely destroying and tearing apart is families. Why? Because it destroys his plan. If we could all just stand up. I'm sure that there's a lot on your mind. Biblical. Right now, we're just going to pray for our families and understand. Hopefully, this teaching helped with some areas in your life, especially in your family, or in the hope of maybe putting your family back together, or in the hope of keeping your family together, or understanding how these loves work and how they associate one with another when it comes to relationships. And so, right now, we're just going to lift our families up in prayer. Mighty God. The most powerful thing that you have on this earth for us is a biblical family, a family unit that worships you, that seeks you first. Mighty God, the security of a mother and a father raising up the children, protecting them, showing them in which way they have to go, Lord. Teach me to be a parent, Lord. Teach me how to be a godly parent, a righteous parent. Mighty God, teach me, Lord. To love my children the way that you want me to love them, Lord. To raise them up and to go the way that you want them to go, God. And when it's time to push them out of the house and for you to use them, Lord, that they would remember the things that I had taught them and the things that you had taught them in their experiences in the altars. Mighty God, right now, Lord, your perfect love in the families of the people in this church. God, repair families right now. Repair marriages right now, Lord. Almighty God, with your unconditional love, begin to repair marriages, begin to repair families and hurt and pain and things that we feel, Lord. Oh God, right now we are praying about the most important thing that we have here on earth is the relationship between people in our families and our brothers and our sisters, Lord. Mighty God, have me not go to bed at odds with a brother. Give me the confidence to speak and to talk, Lord, and to correct one another with love. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Right now, Lord, right now, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, mighty God, hallelujah, mighty God. Jesus, Jesus, right now, Lord. Oh, mighty God, mighty God. Lord Jesus, thank you for this sobering word. Lord, that we don't want to be tainted by the love of this world, Lord, but we want to have a pure love for you. We want to have a pure love for my family and my children. I want to have a pure love, Lord Jesus, a biblical love, an understanding, mighty God, Lord, of how to love you so that I could love the people around me, so that I understand how to love myself in the Word of God. Oh, in your mighty name, in your mighty name. Oh, thank you, Jesus.